Hey, 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 okay. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. So we were looking at Colossians. Verse 17 says he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Foolishness to those that don't understand it, but it makes perfect sense to us if we do. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He's the beginning. He's supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is the first in everything. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. And this includes you who were once far away from God. Ooh, I can relate to that. I was far away. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. I never really thought myself as an enemy to God, but I was an enemy. And you now, he has reconciled to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body, and as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy, and you're blameless, and you stand before him without a single fault. Thank you, Lord. So, I was thinking about shaving. And when I thought about shaving, I thought, you know, it's been growing for a little over 2 months, and in a couple of minutes it'll be gone. And I don't know why I thought that, but I suppose it was a thought from God, because the next thought was, is in the same way, all the time that I spent away from God as an enemy of God, sinning against everything that God, you know, stood for, doing some good things once in a while and thinking, you know, I'm not so bad, not knowing that my righteousness was as filthy rags because I wasn't doing anything in the name of the Lord. In a moment, before I actually said it, when I thought it, because he knows what we're going to say before we say it, the times before in my life when maybe I might have made a promise or I might have said a prayer or I might have. But when I asked him to come into my life, everything was gone. I was blameless and without fault before God. And what a wonderful privilege that is. But you know, Paul was careful to say, now you must continue to believe this truth. Stand firmly in it. You got to believe that you're out fault, with that you're blameless, that you come to God and you come back to God and you keep coming to God and you keep seeking God. And if you drift away from God, get back there. Because here's the deal. Just like, see, you don't grow a beard. You just quit shaving. And when you quit shaving, it grows. As soon as you shave, it's gone. Well, you know, you don't drift away from God, you just quit seeking God. And if you quit seeking God, then you drift away from God. And when you drift away from God, then you've got the accuser of the brethren that says, oh, you've drifted away. As you know, I minister in jails and prisons a lot. And so many times I've talked to people that said that they got close to God in jail and prison, and then they got out, and then they just sort of drifted away. And it wasn't so much that they drifted away, they quit seeking. And so the encouragement is keep seeking and keep knowing that it's wonderful if you even think that you need to seek, because that's way ahead of people who don't even think they need to seek. And so if you feel bad about drifting away, that's a good place to get started back in the right direction. And so every little thing, we have to understand that God said, I'll be your father. Jesus said, let little children come unto me. So we have to understand this, that the tiniest little bit of success is greatly, greatly magnified by God. And the more that we know him as a God like that, we have more and more success and less failure. We have more and more seeking, more and more desire for Him, and less not desiring Him, because we understand that He wants us to come. He wants us. He desires us. You know, it's like okay, before I started growing the beard, I always go through times where maybe I'll go a week and not do anything with my beard. I don't take a week and not do anything with God, but I'll take a week and then I'll look and I'll say, oh, it's scraggly. See, because you went from a shadow after one day to scruffy. You know, scruffy's cool now. They you're supposed to be able to just get a razor that'll make you scruffy, but I don't know, for some reason, or make you scruffy, because that grungy look is okay. But the thing is that I go from a shadow to a decent day, and then it begins to get scraggly because it gets too long. And so when I get tired of that, I try to just trim it back to where it's just kind of the scruffy, but it just never looks the same as when it gets to the scruff on its own. And so, you know, when I just quit shaving, I went through a couple of weeks of working on scruffy and keeping from scraggly. And then when I started from scraggly and let it go another week, well, now I was into sort of a beard, and then I just quit shaving. And when I quit shaving, like I said, you don't grow a beard, you just quit shaving and it comes. And I've watched and I see the same thing happening with people that, you know, they can be doing real good with God, and then they kind of lighten up on that, and they get a little shadow, and then a little grungy, and then a little scruffly, and then a little scraggly, and they catch up, and they catch themselves, and they start coming again. But then, you know, eventually, if we don't continually seek God. If we don't continually, and when I say continually seek God, I don't mean you got to have your nose in the Bible all day, but you know you will have days when you want to. But I mean just looking to God and thinking of God and giving God praise and remembering God and saying I love you, Lord, and things like that, making that a continual part of our diet, so to speak. Keeping our sustenance up so that we don't get low God sugar and pass out. Because if we don't, then we will grow apart. And when you grow apart from God, then you think, I may as well give up. Or sometimes this will happen. People are doing real good, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong, and for some reason we lose track of all the good things that God has done, and the one thing that goes wrong just becomes the explosive thing in our mind, and then people get mad at God. They say, I was mad at God, and I told him I was mad at God. And people say, God doesn't mind if you're mad at him. And I guess maybe he doesn't. He can handle that. But why would you get mad at God? Why would you blame God? Why would you do that? Because after you do that, then you got to come back and you got to say, God, I'm so sorry. Why would I do that? Don't ever think it was okay to get mad at God and then it's okay not to apologize to God. I mean, because there'll always be that little thing there. See, because then you get down the road a little ways further and something goes wrong and you think, oh, God's mad at me because I did this or I did that. And, hey, the world's mad at you. The devil's mad at you. God loves you. Remember, through Christ's death on the cross, he reconciled you to himself and declared you blameless and without fault. That's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, he says it. See, you're blameless and without fault because he says you're blameless and without fault. And so you may have people come and say, well, it's not that easy. But remember, the disciples said, now you decide whether it's better to listen to God or listen to you. But for us, we're gonna say what God says. For me, I'm going to believe what God says. Hey, you don't have to be an outlandish, awful sinner, but those who are forgiven much love much. But I'm not telling you if you aren't an outlandish, awful sinner, don't go out and get there. But at the same time, I'm actually doing this message on April Fool's Day, and I thought about that today. You know, the Bible says it's a fool that says there is no God. And I was a fool, although I never said there is no God, but if I didn't believe in him or I didn't follow him or I didn't trust him, I was a fool. And then I thought about that, and I thought, well, I was actually in the fool ratings until after my 30th birthday. For a few of the first parts of those years, I wouldn't have qualified for the fool because I was innocent. But later, when I ceased to acknowledge God and give God the glory, even though I never said there is no God, I was not an atheist, I didn't think there was no God, but God wasn't anything to me. And after I came to know God, I realized that a newer song that came out that said the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, you know, even when I was his foe, even when I was his foe, he came after me. And when I felt no worth, he paid it all for me. And there was no shadow that he wouldn't light up, and no mountain he wouldn't climb up, and no wall he wouldn't kick down, and no lie he wouldn't tear down, because he was coming after me. I see that now. And I see that he's after everybody. He wants everybody. If he says he doesn't want anybody to perish, then he doesn't want anybody to perish. And so he never gives up on us. He never gives up. He just keeps coming. I was also thinking this morning about the song, If You Don't Know Me By Now, you'll never ever gonna know me. You know, I think that would be a great funeral song, because if we die and we don't know him, we're never gonna know him. That's just a fact. We're gonna spend eternity separated from God in whatever that eternity separated from God is gonna be. The Bible calls it hell. Nobody, well, maybe a few, but most people don't choose to go to hell. But it's kind of like if you don't shave, your beard grows. If you don't call upon the Lord, the darkness of eternity will catch up. Now, I just throw that out there because we need to be reminded of it from time to time. So we need to look at ourselves and we need to notice, you know, see, part of the time when my beard grows or when my whiskers grow, part of the reason that they grow to the point where they grow is because I don't look in the mirror to see how things are going. And then all of a sudden, here I am, I got something that I'm supposed to go to, and I look and I go, oh, man. Okay, if I go with it too long, then it's like, well, yeah, maybe I'm going to grow a beard. If I get the grunge, I go, well, it'll be okay. It can be grungy today. You know, it just depends on what stage it is. I have to decide because, I wasn't planning for that. I don't have the extra minutes that I had. Maybe I've already got my clothes on to go someplace, and I don't want to use a blade and some cream, or maybe my skin isn't just right to go with the electric. And so there I am. I got to make a decision after I finally looked and I recognized. Now, there's the thing. Consider yourself, the Bible says. Consider God and consider yourself. So here's the deal. If we just consider sometimes, then that will keep us track of, you know, sometimes people say, I just don't feel God like I used to. And I say, do you seek God like you used to? Or if they don't say that to somebody else, they're just thinking, you know, man, I haven't read my Bible. Well, that's a good thought. That's a good thought. It's not a good deal, but it's a good thought. Oh, yeah, you should read your Bible. I haven't prayed. I haven't sought the Lord. Oh, that's a good thought. Now, that's an easy one to take care of. You don't have to have a Bible to think about God. You just turn the conversation. You know, it's like recently I had a name that I saw. I was looking for somebody in my contact list, and I had a name that I hadn't contacted for a while, and I just had this thought, I should talk to him. And that thought just kind of stuck there until finally I just called him to talk to him because, you know, it was easy to do. Now, I could have done it right away or I waited a while, whatever. But, you know, it was there. I had that thought. It was a good thought. And then it was a good contact. Well, with God, you don't have to even look in your contact list. You just have to think of God. And then you say, God, How are you? I know you're good, but I mean, I want you to know that I care about how you are. I want you to know that I do love you, and I'm sorry. I've allowed myself to get distracted, and anyway, I want to get back in contact with you, because I know if I'm not feeling you, it's not your problem, it's my problem. You're right there. I just have to turn to you. So, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, quicken me. Help me so I don't do this again. I don't want to do this again, you know? I mean, sometimes when I'm on a shaving spree, like recently I got some new razor blades, so I wanted to see how many shaves I could get out of it and see if I really like those blades, you know? And so for quite a few days, I was doing it every day, you know, it was just simple as could be, but I didn't keep doing that, and whether I shave or not is not really that big of a deal to anybody except maybe my wife, you know. I think that when she read that devotional, she thought, thank God, finally he's going to shave that thing off, you know. She didn't really say too much. Part of that may be because she once said she didn't want me to buzz my hair anymore, and I said, well, I'm going to either buzz it or have a ponytail, and now I got the ponytail, and so I got hair that grows in some places and doesn't grow in other places, you know. But there was a time back about probably a month ago, or a little more than a month ago, when I went to kiss her goodnight, and I got the ooh, she backed away thing, and I said, well, thank you a lot. She said, well, your whiskers are sharp, and I thought then, you know, the beard might be gone, but it got soft, and I suspect she doesn't like it. I had somebody email me and said, maybe you need to shave for your wifey, dear. Now some guys, their wives want them to grow beards, and I whatever the case might be, that doesn't make any difference, you know. And there's a lot of stuff in life that doesn't make any difference, but seeking God does make a difference. Keeping ourselves in the love of God. God doesn't love me more or less with a beard. Now, in the Old Testament, they said you shouldn't even trim the edges of your beard. And, well, I haven't done anything with this one for quite a while. But, you know, what's the beard got to do with anything? What it's got to do with things is that it just is. And our faith is going to grow out of seeking God. And our problems will grow out of not seeking God. You see, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to keep us away from God, and then he wants to condemn us and make us feel bad because we weren't seeking God. Because if we get condemned, we won't seek God, and he'll just keep us going down the road and down the road and down the road and down the road. But praise God, somebody will come along and say, praise the Lord. And you'll hear that, and it'll be like, what was that? Wow, praise the Lord. Oh, I used to do that. I should do that again. Bang, there it is. See, it's just that much, but we need to come to a place where we don't treat God like a revolving door, where we're not in and out and in and out and in and out. All the time, keeping in mind that when we're out, he wants us in. But for our own good, for our own benefit, for our own best interest, it's good to just get in and stay in. Stay in that. He loves us always, but we've got to keep ourselves in that place. You know, that taking your place, that stepping into your place. And as Paul said, you must continue to believe the truth and stand firm in the truth. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Don't drift away from that assurance. Don't drift away, because that assurance is insurance. That confidence that we had, that confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so when I called upon the Lord, he heard me and he rescued me. When I called, he rescued me. So I'm rescued. I'm without fault before God. I'm without blame before God. And I can boom, just like that, I can go to God and I can say, Lord, forgive me. And bang, we're forgiven. And there we are, blameless and faultless again. And it's a warm and it's a comfortable and it's a precious place, you know. Sometimes people don't think they feel anything, but something has still happened. Sometimes the ease and the release and the comfort maybe only lasts about a second, but something happened. You know, it's like hearing a sound in the night. And now you're tuned in and trying to hear it. Right now, we've got a dog that we're giving medicine, and so if I hear a sound, I think, oh, if she's up, we got to get her outside because she's going to go to the bathroom, you know. And so if I happen to hear that, well, then I have to lay there awake a while and see if I hear those little paws. But actually, I don't wait again to hear it. I jump up and I flash a little, shine a little light down there to see if she's in her bed. And if she's in her bed, then I have to decide, okay, is she asleep or is she waking up? You know, you gotta pay close attention to it or you're going to have a mess. Well, hello. We need to pay close attention to our faith. You know, it's like your bank account. You need to pay close attention to it because if you don't have enough money in it, you can get overdraft charges. You need to pay attention to it. You need to look at it once in a while. You need to check it. And so that's what we need to do is we need to check. We need to check our faith. We need to check. Just like if I don't want to let my beard grow, I need to look in the mirror once in a while. I need to check it. I need to consider things. Because if you don't shave it, it's going to grow. If you don't seek God, you're going to grow away from God. That's all there is to it. And if you ever have those things like, you know, well, that's pretty good. Now, sometimes I'll have something that I'm supposed to go and officiate as a pastor. And sometimes I'll look in the mirror and I'll go, well, it's good enough. And I'll think, oh, no. I can't go with good enough for this. I'm going to have to take the time to fix that. And I can't ever go, if I ever have a thought, well, I'm doing good enough when it comes to the things of God, that is the most terrible thought in the world. If I'm doing, well, pretty good with God, that's not good. I don't want to be pretty good with God. There isn't such a thing as pretty good with God. You know? It's good, and in any sense of lying about it, if I'm not good, I need to not be good, but I want to keep myself good because I don't want to say, well, it's not so good. You know, I read my Bible, I seek God, I pray. If I don't sense Him, I seek Him until I do sense Him because I can't live without Him. I don't want to live if I can't have You, Lord. I don't want to live if I can't have You. Lord, nothing could be better than worshiping You. Those are choruses that have come out during worship, and that's exactly the truth. The good news has been preached all over the world, and Paul says, I've been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. I guess I'm not Paul, but I've been appointed to declare the good news. I've been appointed to encourage people to draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. I've been appointed by God to encourage people to be grateful to God and be grateful for just any signs with God. I've been appointed to encourage people like you encourage a child. If he takes one step and falls down, everybody cheers and claps and hallelujahs, you know. I mean, we get videos from my son and daughter-in-law of our new little granddaughter, Victoria Jane, and my goodness, you know, she burps cute, she yells cute, she eats cute, she bubbles cute, she does everything cute. I mean, that's just exactly how we feel about it, and that's never going to change. I feel that way about my kids. Doesn't matter how old they are, I love them. Doesn't matter, you know. And so it is that you know, people need to be encouraged. You know, what a wonderful thing that you're even thinking about God. I tell people that come to the chapels in jail, I said, it's a miracle that you're here. People, if you're sitting in church, it's a miracle that you're there. You could have been doing other things, but something drew you, you know. Even if somebody talked you into it, you came to God. If you thought about coming to God and you didn't get there, you know, that's a good step because a lot of people don't even think about Him. I'm always hoping. We live right on the edge of town. People drive down past our church to fish, and I'm always thinking, you know, on Sundays, I'm thinking, I just hope something catches their eye so they at least think about God on their way to fish. Now, some people that fishing is an experience with God. And I don't begrudge them that at all, you know, whatever the case might be. But we need to be God-minded. We need to be God-minded. We talked some time back about give God you. The best thing you can do is give God you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then you resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you because you have set your mind on God. Don't let your walk with God slip away. Don't let your need for God get away from you. Rather, get carried away with God. Let it go. Let your faith grow. Don't do things to stifle it. Don't do things. Don't let loose. You know, maintain that confidence and assurance that you received. You know, it's amazing how you can just, you can begin to give God credit for everything good. If you hear a word from somebody, you know, that's a good thing, and let it stick in your head. Just like this, the thought about shaving just stuck in my head, and it just began to grow as God began to speak to me about it. And all I started out to do was to just say, you know, I'm thinking about shaving, and it'll only be a couple of minutes to be rid of a couple of months, and it takes no time at all to be rid of everything that has kept you from God. You remember things. Guy in the church is a mechanic, and I asked him about a belt that was coming off of my little skid loader, and he talked about that you might have a bearing out on your alternator. If you can shake hands with it, that's a problem. And I kept thinking about that shaking hands thing. How in the world do you shake hands with it, you know? But it stayed in my head until I went and I checked on it to see if I could shake, if I could wobble it, is what I decided. I don't know how you'd shake hands with it. And I discovered something else that was letting things wobble a little. And between those thoughts, we got it fixed up. And it's all good. And then I had a leak. And so I was thinking about, you know, fixing the leak. And we fixed one part of the leak. And then there was another leak. And I thought, oh man, that's going to require changing the little leathers in the part that moves the hydraulics. And then I found this thing that said it would stop the leaks and increase the pressure. And so I'm going to give that a try. Yeah. Because you take these thoughts and you say, okay, well, you know, Lord, thank you. We'll put this into action. Listen for those little words from God, those little thoughts from God, those little checks that the Holy Spirit gives you. When you feel like you should praise the Lord, just praise the Lord. Don't look for a place that's convenient to praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord. Praise the Lord out loud. Praise the Lord under your breath. Praise the Lord in your mind. You know, I'm a shouter, so I like to just praise the Lord. That's just the way I am. He's worthy to be praised. When they marched around Jericho, and then Joshua said, shout. They shouted and the walls came down. Man, you got walls that need to come down. Shout at them. I'm not going to use a dull razor to shave my beard. I'm going to use a sharp one. And I'm going to get it done when I do it. You know, maybe I'll lose the interest in it and I'll just be thankful to have a message to talk about it. You know, it doesn't matter how long it grows. If I shave it today or tomorrow, or if I shave it 3 months from now, I'm still going to take it off just as fast. Just as quickly. If we neglect so great a salvation, just as quick as we call, it's still going to fall off of us, and we're going to become faultless and blameless. But you see, as we neglect our salvation, we also neglect the fullness of our salvation. We miss life in the kingdom here in this lifetime a hundredfold, and in the end, eternal life. We're missing it. 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 I've often said, man, I loved playing football, and I've thought, if I'd have been a Christian, I'd have played it a lot better. It would have made a difference. God just makes a difference in everything. And if you've never never understood what a difference he could make. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, I know I sat in church and never realized what a difference God can make. And I don't know where anyone is in their walk with God. But I know this, you want to stay close. You don't want to just let that separation grow. And you can fix it in a moment just with the, I love you, Lord. So that's how I will say, Lord, that I pray that everyone would give you glory, that everyone would know your goodness, that I would know your goodness more, that I would reveal your goodness more, that I would experience your goodness more, that I would be blameless and without fault at all times in presenting your word. And only you know that for sure, Lord. But I'm thankful that when we call, you answer us. That your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Blessed be your name, Lord. And blessed be those who have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.